It is so good to see you tonight. It's great to be back in the Lord's house, and it's good to be back on Sunday, but it's probably one of the longest stretches I've gone without teaching or preaching, and really kind of excited about getting back and being with everyone, and so much to be in prayer about. I hope you had a good week so far. Our busy time is getting ready to come up. It's, I guess, the calm before the storm, but it's already picking up. The students will be heading out this weekend, and we'll be getting in and doing all the things that we got to do this summer. But be in prayer for that, as I know it's going to be busy. And also, let's be in prayer, fervent prayer for our Bible school. I have a strong heart for that, thinking about the young folks that we have in our church, and hopefully a lot visiting and being with us for Bible school. So it's something for us to be in prayer about and study about and be prepared to answer questions. These young ones, they might have some questions, and a lot of times they might set you back a little bit. So it's good to kind of be prepared, and what a blessing it is to win somebody to the Lord. I have to say, I don't know how many had left or what have you. I know after the service, as we were leaving and everything, Sister Kinsley Coffey came up to me afterwards and wanted to talk to me a little bit, and she accepted the Lord on Sunday, and I say praise the Lord. So I told her, I'll let her tell the church her story. I don't like to tell it for somebody. Their part of being a witness is telling themselves, and so I told her that I'd give her that opportunity on Sunday, and we could shake hands with her and what have you. But that's a sweet thing to experience, and just the sweet spirit with Brother Anthony and his family, and getting able to reconnect a little bit with his wife, April. I didn't know her, but she had come to church here prior through CFC. So it was neat to see how that comes back full circle. You think about the seed that's being sown as it goes out, and when you get to see it come back in like that, it's a blessing. It's a real blessing to see that. But we have a lot to be in prayer for. Brother Robert and Rob and his treatments and everything. Brother Dale and all those that are facing things like that, we need to keep them in our prayers, obviously, and I believe that we are. Let's remember Brother Tim tonight. He's not with us. He's went to see his mother. She's got a case of pneumonia, and seems to be pretty serious, and so he definitely felt led to be there tonight, which I can understand that. So much to be in prayer about, and we'll have our time of prayer afterwards. But if you will, let's turn to Proverbs chapter number 28 and verse number 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1. And I've had this verse on my heart for a while now, and I don't really know why. I can't give you a full-blown explanation as to why or anything like that. I don't know if it's something maybe I had heard maybe or kind of glanced over and read or something, but it's something that has been on my heart for probably a couple of weeks now. Never preached on it or anything that I can remember, but sometimes things just kind of have a way of lodging in your heart, lodging in your mind, and maybe sometimes you wonder why the Lord put it in there. Maybe it's something that can help you today. Maybe it's something that'll help you through the week or down the road somewhere, but I know that it's all put in there to help us. And I know I probably have preached a lot on confidence, being confident in God, and being confident in the Lord, being confident in Jesus and what He did on the cross. And so this will definitely go along with that. And also, just as been mentioned before, tonight also, being more aware of putting our confidence in the Lord and not in man, a man-made thing. But I hope this will be a help to us tonight. I mean, I'd ask you, are you a confident person? Are you confident? Are you bold? Would you say, I'm a bold person? I'm a confident person. And, you know, we can probably look at that in different ways and look at that as being maybe sounding like you're being arrogant or something like that. And I think anything could probably cross over into being prideful or arrogancy or something like that. And that's not at all what I'm talking about tonight. But the Bible puts this in here for a reason. And that's something that we can claim and we can hold on to, or we cannot. And that's the way I look at this tonight. But this verse, one simple verse, we'll read it and we'll get started tonight. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of returning and being able to be here tonight, and just the good week that we had last week, and then also, Lord, just the good service, the good time that we had on Sunday. God, we just thank you so much for saving Sister Kinsley, Lord, and just feeling your presence and seeing you move and work, God, and I just thank you so much for that, Lord. That's what this life is about in preparation for the next, Father. And Lord, I pray that you be with us tonight. I thank you so much for those who are here with us. We understand and pray for those who cannot be with us tonight, God. We pray that you be with them and help them and be an encouragement to them, Lord. And Lord, maybe those that could have been here decided not to. I pray you be with them, God, and help them, Lord. Help them to see the need of this time that we spend together, Lord, not to take it for granted, but what you give to us. But God, I pray you help our church, help each heart, help each mind. God, lead us and guide us through your word. Show us what you'd have us to see and help us, God. Help us to grow stronger. Help us to grow more confident, God, to be more bold in what we're called to do through your name, God, through your work and your ministry. God, be with the lost, those that attend from week to week and maybe listen and hear online or we come in contact with throughout the week. God, help us to be the witness, Lord, that you'd have us to be. And God, I pray for our Bible school coming up. I pray for everyone that takes part. God, I pray for special encouragement, special happiness, God, special boldness, God, confidence, Lord, in those people that are helping this week, Lord, coming up, God, in Bible school. God, we just pray that you help and be with them, Lord. Be with our church and help us, God. Keep a hedge around us and keep us safe, Lord. And thank you so much for your word and all you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. When you look at this verse, when I look at it, I think one of the first things I think about is how this verse is said a lot of times in jest and in joking, talking about people in running. It says here, talking about how people don't like to run or what have you. And, you know, sometimes they throw it up and say, well, the Bible says only the wicked run when nobody's chasing after them. Just kind of making fun and poking fun at the idea of exercise or what have you. But when you look at this verse and break it down, I thought it was interesting kind of how it spoke to my heart. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And thinking about the wicked and what that means is those who are evil in principle and practice, those who are not trying to follow after the Lord by any means or anything like that, but they're kind of doing their own thing. And, you know, being wicked takes a lot of effort. Being wicked causes a lot of stress in a person's life if they want to believe that or not. I think sometimes people want to live it up or and what have you and talk about it. Having a lifestyle like that, like it's fun to live that way or fun to be in trouble. But I tell you, I think it's an exhausting lifestyle to try to keep up. The reason I say that, you know, you look at wicked people, they're always trying to keep up something. One of the things I found interesting about this and thinking back to my law enforcement days, and the closer you got to somebody, a suspect, if you're following evidence, the closer you got to them, the more worried they looked. They knew you were on their trail, and why are you talking to me? And well, you know why law enforcement is talking to you. You know why. But they're trying to figure out how much you know, and that can be exhausting. One thing that I remember in training too, and I tell you, it stands. They said here, you know, the truth will always stand. If you're interviewing somebody and talking to them and they're innocent and they're telling you the truth, it is what it is. It's just going to flat stand. There, it might be wearisome and a person might get frustrated because you're not believing them or trusting what they say, but if the person is telling the truth, the only thing they can tell you is the truth. That's all they can tell you. But now what happens if you start catching somebody in a lie? This is the way they explain it to us in interview interrogation. They say that if they won't give you the truth, document their lie. You take down their lie. And then you start tearing that lie apart. And you see, that's what really is a wearisome thing for the wicked. When the wicked thinks they've contrived something and have something that's going to hold and stand up, but then when they get a little hole gouged in the side of it, that's a wearisome thing, and now they've got to try to figure out how to patch that hole. Then after you poke a hole there and maybe a little bit over here and a little bit over there. They're always trying to patch that hole. They're always trying to think ahead. That's a wearisome way to live. Would you not agree with that? Anybody here want to live like that? I don't. Because it plainly says, the wicked flee. The wicked is always running, trying to cover their tracks, trying to cover that lie, always to cover up things and try to cover up their trails and their tracks, and they're always fleeing. I would not like to live that kind of lifestyle. Now, kind of flip it around just a little bit. You know, wicked is a strong word, evil in practice. You know, I think, you know, a lot of times when you see the word wicked, I think lost people, unregenerate people, evil people that don't want to try to do good or anything like that. But now, I want us to see it like this too. I think a lot of times Christians can live an anxious or a wearisome life also, and a lot of times that's self-inflicted. If a person knows, if a Christian knows they are not living as they should, that's the kind of lifestyle that they're living. I think most people would agree that we can't hide anything from God. We can't hide nothing from Him, but you know, I think in our minds sometimes, well, God's not here. God's not in front of me like mom and dad is. Not in front of me like my friends are. Like my teacher, my principal, or what have you. They're not here right in front of me just like that. So I think sometimes we put that in the back of our mind thinking He's not here, but He knows. But then one of the things that we try to do, though, is fool those people around about us and make sure that they think that we are what we want them to think we are, perception. Now, you see a lot of that used in social media and things like that. People put out how they want to be perceived, but I tell you, you and your heart know. And that can be a wearisome life to try to live. You say, preacher, you coming down on us? No, I want us to think about something. If we're living our life not in accordance with how God would have us to live, we are living as Christians a wearisome life. We're somewhat fleeing from God. We're fleeing from Him. If fellowship is broken and we're not willing to step out of what is breaking fellowship, then we're just fleeing from the Lord, and that's a wearisome life to live. I thought about this week. It's interesting how the Lord brings things to mind. And we were walking on the sand there. I think it was one morning, we were walking, and this fella, you know, they were fishing off the side and what have you, just right off the shore there. And most of the time you walk by, I don't see anybody catching anything. Like, you're wasting your time. But I get it. I enjoy it too. You know, I get it. Most of the time nobody catches things. When I've been around, and this guy started reeling in pretty fierce like, and the closer that he got in, Brandy, your mom, said, "My goodness, look, he caught something big. I mean, you can see it. We're quite a distance away." I was like, "I wonder if that's a shark, because if that is, it's a big one. You know, you see sand sharks, little guys, you know, but I wanted to see what it was. I think he caught it a blue." But we got there. We got up to him nice, and because, you know, he started looking around. Maybe he's looking for his wife. She later came, but he had to have somebody to tell. He wanted to tell somebody, "Look what I caught." You know, that's kind of how it is. And I get it. It was a good-sized fish. And he is more than happy to tell us about it, you know. And I didn't know what his intention was with the fish. I don't know if that's an edible fish or what. It's a good-sized fish. And if it is edible, probably enough to make a good meal out of. But as he was talking to us, and I kept looking down at the fish's eye, it was a big eye. He was kind of looking around. Like, is somebody going to put me back in the water? What's your intention here? And I got a little anxious. And you know, because as he stayed out there longer, his eye kept looking around, but his breath began getting more and more labored. I'm like, my goodness, he might be keeping this guy. And I'm like, I don't want to see the fish die. Kind of softy. But you know, as I saw that, and I'll tell you this, he put him back in the water and he swam away. But as I saw that, and I kind of thought about that fish and about the condition he was in and where he was at, he was just waiting potentially to die. He didn't know what was going to happen, where it was going to be. But I tell you, that is what we're like as Christians if we get outside the will of God. If we're not trying to stay as close to Him as we can, I know I say that a lot, and I'm going to keep saying that, because in this day and time, that is our only hope as a family. That is our only hope as a church. The devil would love nothing more than to get us offshore somewhere, floundering around trying to figure out if we're alive or not, and if we're going to make it or not. And you see this right here, the wicked flee. The wicked is always running, trying to cover up something, trying to hide, trying to keep everything together. And the Lord does not want us as Christians living that way. So, preacher, how does he want us to live? That's a good thing about how Proverbs is. A lot of times it tells you the negative side, maybe, and then it'll give you the positive side or the other side of the story. And that is exactly what we see here. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. He's got his own problems and he's not willing to come to terms with those problems and make things right. But now on the flip side of that, the righteous are bold as a lion. That's the side that I want to be on. I'll ask you this. In the classroom, we have students maybe here, and Nathan's in school, what have you. And so in the classroom, if you're there, and or even in church or what have you, when you're watching somebody speak, when somebody gets up to speak or if somebody gets up to preach, do you like to see somebody kind of hem-haw around, not sure about what they're talking about? Don't you feel a little anxious for them, a little nervous for them? Like, man, you know, he's kind of having a hard time. You know, that's hard to watch sometimes. I mean, it is. But now if you see somebody get up and they're confident in what they're talking about and they're bold in what they're talking about, doesn't that kind of energize you a little bit? It does me. I mean, either we believe it or we're not. Either we're confident or we're not. And we need to know who. It's already been mentioned, not who we're confident in, but why we can be confident. I thought this was very interesting here. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous, that does not mean perfect. That means just. That means one who is holy in heart and observant in the divine commands. That's somebody that's trying to do right, church. Somebody who has it in their heart, I want to do things right. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm not trying to be legalistic. But you know what? I want to do things right. I want to do things the way God would have me to do it. I want to follow Him. You get to a place in your life, you say, Lord, I want what You want. I want things to be the way You want them to be. Not only in heaven, but also in earth, as the prayer says. I want things to be the way You want them to be. And you turn those things over to Him. And here's the thing. I want us to think about this. If you get anxious about things, constantly wondering, am I doing this right? And am I on the right side of this thing? Am I on the wrong side of this thing? Let me tell you this. Get on God's side and you'll know. You don't have to worry if you're on God's side. This life is not a matter of you and I trying to get God to see things our way, try to get Him on our side to make things happen the way we want them to happen. He is telling us, you get on my side and I'll take care of things. I'll take care of things for you. You know, that is what the Lord wants from us. I can't preach it enough. I can't teach it enough. When it comes to salvation, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in Him. That's exactly what He wants us to do every single day. From the time that you accept Him and turn your will over to Him, then every day living in His will. See, that's how He wins. That's what it is. You take an unregenerate, fleshly person like myself and me being nobody, but if I'm willing to do things God's way, He wins. And I have a part in that winning. Only because of Him. When you say, I'm not going to try to do things my way. I'm going to do it God's way. He's outlined it in His Word, and we turn things over to that. Guess what? You know how much worry that should take off the heart of a Christian? A lot. Because there's so much that we cannot control in this life. A lot of times, and I've mentioned it before, a lot of times I'll wake up in the middle of the night and my mind will start running and what have you, but it's kind of like that last night. It started and I caught myself. Sometimes what I'll do is my mind will get running. I'll look on the phone for a while, waiting to get sleepy and go back to sleep. But last night I said, I need to sleep more than I need to look on the phone. And I was like, I'm going to pray until I go back to sleep. I don't remember going to sleep. I remember waking up this morning feeling more rested than I had been when I stay up late at night. But when I was praying, I just started praying about the things that were on my heart. This is something, Sister Holly, is bothering me. Lord, this is bothering me. Lord, am I handling this thing right? How would you have me to handle this? And when I play it out in my mind and recall Scripture and say, okay, that's exactly how we'll do it. You know what happened to that worry? It was gone. It wasn't mine to carry anymore. What am I running for? The wicked is the one that's running. Why am I anxious? It's the wicked that are anxious. But what the Bible is saying here, you and I that are Christians, we can be bold. That, again, that doesn't mean cocky or arrogant. That means bold, confident. When you look at the word confidence, it's a lot in that description, but in that definition, it's a trusting or a reliance, an assurance of mind or firm belief in the integrity, stability, or veracity of another, or in the truth and the reality of a fact. And I thank God that I can place fact in the Word of God, and when He says something here, I can place enough veracity and fact in it that I don't have to carry that and worry about that anymore. I think sometimes our anxiousness, our anxiety is self-inflicted because we're carrying things the wrong way and maybe carrying things we shouldn't be carrying at all. God says to bring those burdens to Him. All you that labor are heavy laden, bring those to Him and He'll give you rest. The Bible says that for a reason, and He will. I believe I heard testimony. I didn't get to hear Brother Dale what he had to say last week, but I heard it was good. And what I heard that he had said along these lines was, when you give something to God, you give it to God and you leave it with Him. Man, what good advice that is coming from this man and the testimony and the trials that he has been facing. But when you look at this word bold, again, it means confident, and it compares it to something. It compares it to an animal. And that's what I think was neat about this here, because the Bible does speak a lot about the lion. If you ever watched the movie The Lion King, it's not biblical or anything like that, but it gives you a description. Maybe kids have seen that and understand that the lion is a bold, is a kingly, is a very strong and a very noble animal. They're the king of the jungle. And so when you look at that, you say, well, nobody messes with the king. Nobody messes with the lion because he'll tear you up. He'll work you over. When you're seated in that seat and you have that power and you have that authority, what do you have to be afraid of? Think about that. This is the Bible talking. I'm not making something up. Just making something up out of a cartoon or something. You think about that. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And the Bible has a few things to say about that. I look back in Genesis chapter number 49, verses 9 and 10. And I love how the Lord brings things out. He brought it out in my study. A lot of the times, I don't know how this is, where it's going to go, but He orchestrates things. And you think about Judah, one of the tribes here. And this is Jacob giving prophecy. He's talking about Judah. He's talking about the time that is going to come, the blessings of his sons, if you read all the way through verses 49:1 all the way down to here. But I want you to see how he is prophesying about not only his family, not only his sons, but he's giving prophecy about somebody else. He's giving prophecy about somebody else. He's saying Judah is a lion's whelp. He's talking about Judah, his son, one of his sons, is like a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? He's talking about even from a young age all the way up to his older, mature age, who's going to rouse him up? Who's going to mess with this lion? Who is capable of confronting? Who is capable of battling this lion? It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and to him shall be the gathering of the people be. Now, there's a beautiful thing there. You think about Shiloh come, it's making reference not only to Jacob's children, his sons, it's talking about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see here, you talk about Judah, that is the offspring as it comes out of that tribe. Who comes out of that tribe? Very influential person, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He comes out of that tribe, and he's talking about the gathering of his people be. So when I see this here, when I see being bold, I see that being compared to Jesus Christ. Now, that's why I keep trying to tell you and say this, stay as close to him as you can, because none of us are a match for the devil. None of us. You can't play around with things. You can't think you can handle a little of this or handle a little of that and it not affect you. Next thing you know, you'll be fleeing. You'll be running. The number one thing, if you think about it, Christians, that's face things any amount of time, the number one thing that Satan wants to go after for you is your closeness and your fellowship with God. You think about it like this. You miss one Sunday. Why is it easier to not go back that next Sunday? Because fellowship seems so far away. Fellowship seems so distant. Fellowship seems like it's way out there somewhere. And next thing you know, you start feeling like it's unattainable. That's fleeing. Hey, if you're not coming back as a Christian, you're fleeing. It's not only reserved just for the wicked, but think about it that way. But you see here, this mention that is given here is talking about the kingliness, the courage, the leadership, the strength, and the power that is likened into a lion, and the closeness that can be had there. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter number 5. I'm closing here and we'll have our time of prayer. One of my favorite books of the Bible, chapters in the Bible, is Revelation chapter number 5. That's when this thing is really winding up. Now, I know you and I are not to have boldness and place confidence and pride in ourselves, and I know that, and I believe that. But I tell you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this, I want you to grasp this and think about this. Think about this one day. You'll get to see this. If you're feeling anxious or if you're feeling less confident, and I tell you, you need to lay whatever that might be that's breaking fellowship between you and the Lord, you need to lay that thing down and regain your boldness and your confidence. I'm telling you, it's powerful. It's powerful here. Revelation chapter number 5. I want to look at the first 5 verses just real quick. And honestly, church, it really speaks of itself here. Now, this is John talking. You just came back. If you look at the first few chapters there, you're thinking about the churches, those church of Laodicea, Philadelphia, those churches, lukewarm church, the church that had revival, the church of the falling away. It comes up here, but now this is talking about in heaven. John saw this, and I tell you, a foreshadowing of what you and I get to see. Those who have accepted Christ will get to see this. And it said, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. This thing was sealed up. It was closed up. You and I couldn't open it. Nobody here could open it. Nobody on this earth could open this. And there's a search. When you want to know what's in that book, this is only going to happen at this period of time. This isn't something that just happens, a reoccurring event. This is something that happened one time, that happens in the future one time. Verse 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. He's asking, an angel, a spiritual being with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. So there's a search in heaven taking place, looking to see who can open this book. You know, I think a lot of times we spend time thinking that there's a lot of things that's closed to us that the Lord would open for us if we would let him. If we would get as close to him as we could get to him, and trust him with things in our life and not hold on to things and turn it over to him. I tell you, I believe there's a lot of things that he would open up to us. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Verse 3, and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Couldn't even look at it. I think that really speaks to our capabilities and our abilities even today with things in life. We think we're in control and we want to be, but truly, church, we know that we're absolutely not. Who could open this book? The search was in and under the earth, in and out of heaven. John, he gets a little discouraged. He said, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. So what are we going to do? We've got this book up here. Nobody can open it. Can't find anybody to open it. Now, I don't know who this elder is or who this elder is going to be one day. Praise the Lord, get to know and find out. And it says, one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. I think this fella knew something. He said, weep not, behold, who? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now you think about that boldness. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ and the power and the ability that He has. Why would we not want to be as close to Him as we could be? Why would anybody want to resist Him? Why would anybody want to resist having that kind of relationship? Because when this thing winds up, He's the one that we have to know. That's the only one. He's the one that we have to know. Like Brother Nathan was saying, He's the one. The Lion, the tribe of Judah. You imagine seeing Jesus Christ and His magnificence opening this book, the only one worthy enough to do it. I tell you, what I like about reading Scripture like this, you say, well, preacher, that's down the road somewhere. That could be very soon. That could be very soon. Time flies around here anymore. We were talking about that earlier. This year's almost halfway gone. Time flies by. You think about a seven-year tribulation. Seven-year tribulation might seem long to those that are here, but in heaven, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be fast. Time is moving on. And what I like about reading these verses here, the confidence, the way that it was spoken in the prophecy of talking about Judah and his family, to then all the way up to the prophecy of Jesus Christ himself, I can put boldness and confidence in that. You know what that tells me, church? That tells me I know that I'm not perfect. I know I'm not able to open the book. I don't have that power. But I know the one that does. And church, if we stay with Him, if we place our confidence in Him, if we have boldness in Him, I tell you, it's going to make our lives a whole lot stronger, a whole lot better for the Lord. I tell you, church, there's a lot in that. It makes me want to get in there a little bit more. I think about Bible school. I think about praying for revival. I think about being on fire for God. That's where I want to be. And I don't want it to be 1 week. I want it to be a continual thing. I tell you, I want to go out fighting for the Lord and standing for what He has called us to stand for and standing to be who He wants us to be. I find a lot of joy in that. I find a lot of power. I find a lot of confidence in that. But I'm going to stop there tonight, and I'll ask if anybody has anything they would like to mention or add tonight.